Oh my gosh, babe. We need to go to the hospital.
Whoa, whoa. Slow down. What's going on?
I stuck something somewhere.
You stuck something somewhere. Can you be a little bit more specific than that?
I stuck a ping pong in my vagina and now it's stuck.
Why in the world would you ever stick a ping pong in your vagina?
I saw this movie and this woman, she was sticking ping pongs in her vagina and like shooting them out at people. And like the guys really liked it. And so I was like, well, let me try that for Joey and be a little saucy.
Oh, okay. Well, you are way off the map of stuff that I'm into. If you thought I was going to like ping pong balls shot at me from your private parts.
Well, I need to go to the hospital. So can we just go?
All right.
Can you help me get it out?
Okay. All right. We'll go to the emergency room. I kind of need to go too.
What? Why?
I put a tampon up my butt and lit it on fire.
Wait, did you also watch The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, too?
No, I've never heard of that before.
You haven't seen it?
You haven't seen it?
No way. You're out of order! Ah,
you're killing me, Smalls.
Fasten your seatbelts.
You're tearing me apart!
Houston, we have a problem.
What? We've got here is failure.
Inconceivable.
God damn you all to hell!
Hello and welcome to You Haven't Seen It? The podcast where I make my husband watch a movie he's never cared to see. I'm your host, Aaron.
And I'm the husband, Joey, who is referred to as Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, in both his tours of Iraq.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Joey, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good. I'm doing pretty good too. I found my keys.
Oh, you finally did find your keys.
I've been looking all day for my keys and they were literally on our computer table.
So you must have, you put them on that wall partition and then probably they fell behind the computer. Yeah.
Yeah. So I found them. Yay.
Speaking of car stuff, I finally finished my project car today. And I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, for people that know Joey, he's a car guy.
No, I'm not a car guy. I'm a professional diesel mechanic.
Yeah, he's a mechanic. Car guy. Anyways, he has been working on a car. So this car is actually a pretty special car. It's the car that we brought our daughter home in when she was born.
Well, not just that. When you told me that you were pregnant, the very first thing I did was I went and bought this car. Because it was like a four-door family car.
Yeah, compared to his two-door, no air conditioning car.
Yeah, I did not have a good family car at the time, so I went and bought one. It only cost me $3,000, and I drove it for 7 years.
Yeah, so it's a special little car. And was it last year? It's only been a year?
No,
a year and a half.
The engine blew up in October of 2021.
Okay.
It sat in the garage for a year and a half. And then I finally got the money and I bought a Honda engine from a TSX and I put it in there, even though it's a Toyota Matrix. So I got a Toyota with a Honda engine in it, which are my two favorite types of cars.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stuck them together and I finally finished it. It took me I would say 4 months. I started mid-February, and I just finished. So
yeah, and he's actually gotten it to drive. He actually drove me around in it today.
Yeah.
He needs new wheels on it because it's real squeaky when he when he like pushes on the gas. So yeah, it's pretty cool, tight. He also is my designated mechanic and fixes all my problems with my car.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, ladies, if you want to stop paying for a mechanic, just marry a mechanic.
Or marry a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer, somebody who makes lots of money and can just get your car fixed at a dealership or something.
Or that. Or that. You know what? Don't marry for money or marry for their profession. Marry for love.
No, if you're going to marry for money, marry somebody actually with money.
Yeah, like a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Joey, what movie are we talking about today?
We're talking about The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Okay. And this is a movie that I have seen and you have not.
No, but it is a movie that I've heard a lot about over the years.
Yeah. So what did you know about the movie before watching it?
I knew it was about a group of drag queens in Australia, and they go on a road trip or something and put shows on. But other than that, I didn't really know anything else.
Yeah. So a lot of people, well, this is something that you told me whenever I suggested this, you were like, oh, it's just Tu Wong Fu, but.
Well, that's what I said after I did a little bit of research.
Yeah. But, Tu Wong Fu, they created the movie after, and a lot of people say like, oh, Tu Wong Fu took like the premise of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and made Tu Wong Fu.
Well, I don't think it was the same premise. I was just saying, like, they...
Well, it's a travel movie.
Yeah, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert came out, and then, like, a year or two later, Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, the full title, comes out. And I was just saying...
We're also not saying the full title of Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
You're right. But, so, people might not know, in Hollywood... All these major studios are sitting on thousands upon thousands of scripts, right, that have already been written. They've bought them from the screenwriter. And when a movie comes out and it's a big hit, like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, it won an Academy Award. I know this is your portion of the show, but I did know a little bit about it. And it was this huge international hit. People really liked it. Won an award. So a studio will go, oh, what, do we have a script about drag queens? And somebody's like, yeah, we got this movie. And they're like, okay, get Patrick Swayze. But I was just thinking like, oh, we have Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, because of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. That's all I was saying.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I wasn't trying to say it's a ripoff of it or anything like that.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about our... opinions of it at the end, but a little bit of information. So the movie came out in 1994, and it was directed by Stephen Elliott. He also wrote the script, and the some couple little interesting facts is the so here's a little fun thing. The bus that is painted, the lavender bus that looks pink. The guy that painted that bus and designed the bus later on did the cars for Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So whoever the person is that does that, like he does a fantastic job in like the cars are their own characters.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, in this movie, Priscilla is a character.
Yeah.
Because the bus is named Priscilla.
Yeah, like that's a cliche that you hear people say a lot, but it is like Priscilla is a character in the movie.
Mm-hmm. And well, like thinking about like this is something that we do in theater too, is you want your lights, your sound, every aspect, your costumes, everything needs to be its own character. And they all need to live in the same world and help push the story forward, because that's good cohesive design. So the person, whoever, all of the designers for the show did a really fantastic job. The costumes, they actually won. They won an award for the flip-flop costume. And that was like
specifically for the
flip-flop costume.
Because I thought they won an Academy Award for just costumes, period.
Yes, they did costume. Okay. They did get costume design, but they also won an extra award for just the flip-flop costume.
Okay.
And then, can you guess how much the budget for costumes were?
For just costumes?
Just costumes.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you how much the movie... So the movie... cost about $2 million in US dollars.
$2 million in US.
And how much do you think the costumes were?
Okay. So they only had one bus. All the actors had to take a paycheck, but they weren't kind of big time actors yet. Except for the guy who played General Zod. I'm going to say 400,000.
Only $20,000.
Okay, I was way off.
So, like with that budget, I mean, granted, that's a nice size budget, but
yeah, for costumes, for things that are just like fabric and like flip flops.
Yeah,
because you could probably buy like a dozen flip flops for $20.
Yeah, but they had a lot of really great ideas for the costumes. The costumes are very intricate. Yep. Like even the costumes where they're like singing in the desert with the native people, the indigenous people there.
Yeah.
Like if you notice, like their pants are not pants. They're like footy pants. And they have like a disc at the bottom and their foot is inside. Like there's like cloth at the bottom of it.
Right. Yeah. There's like a...
It's very interesting to look at.
Yeah, it was a real stretchy material that they stretched out over a plate, so it made their feet look like really like duck's feet.
Yeah, I called it the duck foot costume.
Yeah, it's the costumes were like real high art, I want to say. Like mm-hmm. the costumes were great. And then also not just their drag costumes, but the way the characters dressed when they weren't doing drag was very specific to the type of character. Like the transgender woman is like, she has a specific style of like sort of professional, but also like a lot of flowy mm-hmm. overcoats and large pants, like large, mm-hmm. like
trousers.
Pants. Yeah. But everybody in this movie is wearing something that fits their character. So
yeah,
the costume people really did a fantastic job on this movie.
And then also, in some of the shots, like, so most of the show takes place on the bus. Most of the movie is on the bus or around the bus. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of scenes where there are crew hiding underneath fabric and and hiding all over the place during shots because yep. there's no place for them to be. So
that is filmmaking.
Yeah. Well, so yeah. It's especially because it's such a, like, it's only a bus and there's no other place for them to be because it is literally a bus that is their set.
Yeah. If this were a big budget movie, they would have had multiple buses that they could have chopped the side yeah. off of and put a whole big platform on there, you know, so that the crew, the audio people, the camera people, mm-hmm. all that could be there. And the whole set could have rolled too. So they would have had a tow truck pulling it. And it would have never been like a working bus to begin with. But this is a low budget movie, so they just had to work with one bus.
Yeah.
But that's how you do it, man.
Yeah. And then Tim Curry actually turned down the role for Mitzi.
Good. I don't think he would have been a good fit for this movie.
Oh, no. Yeah. The casting for this was really fantastic. They did a really great job.
Yeah. They're all good actors. And Guy Pearce and what is his name? Hugo something?
Sure.
Mitzi, the guy who plays Mitzi. Mm-hmm. They would grow on to be, you know, more famous, but at this time they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that helps this movie that they didn't cast any big stars in it. And I think
Hugo Weaving,
yeah. You know who he is? You don't know his most famous role?
No.
Mr. Anderson.
I don't know what that is.
He was Agent Smith in The Matrix.
Oh. I don't know that.
That's probably his most recognizable role. And then his second was he played an elf in Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
But yeah, but back in 1994, these guys were up and coming. You know, people would not have recognized them, especially in America.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was good. Like, I like it when movies you know, gamble on newer actors and they don't say, oh, you know who we need for this? Will Smith.
Yeah.
You know?
So the movie's budget was about $2 million, but it made $39.7 million. So it did a pretty good, I don't know how compared to like other movies, I don't know if that's well, but it definitely made more than they spent. So yeah, that's yeah. nice.
No, I read that this movie was a big hit and it, I don't know if it ever got picked up by like widespread distribution, But it did well at the Cannes Film Festival, I think I read.
Mm.
Which is, I think that's the biggest film festival in the world, where all the independents go to show off their movies and hopefully get them picked up. But yeah, I mean, that's huge to spend, to make an independent movie for $2 million and then turn it around and make $39 million. That's a lot.
And then the cutest little fact to me is,
what's the cutest little fact? So cute. Tell us.
So cute. So the beginning and end scene, they're at a drag show. Okay. And Mitzi and what's her name? Whatever. Are performing.
Agent Smith and General Zod.
Sure. They're performing. And the place that they're at is in Sydney, Australia, is an actual bar that they frequently do drag at. So like legit, like that's where the LGBTQ IA plus scene is in Sydney.
Right.
And before, it's at a hotel. So it's at the Imperial Hotel. And before this movie, it had a name. But after the movie, they renamed the restaurant Priscilla.
Ooh.
I know. Isn't that so cute?
Yeah. Cute.
I want to go there and I want to eat at Priscilla's.
Oh, you think it's still open?
I think so. I'm not sure though.
Okay. Let's go right now.
Okay. Booking a flight.
All right, guys. We just got back from Priscilla's. It was delicious.
It's fantastic.
We left our child at home for 48 hours because the flights are very long, but that's all we did. We went to Australia and we ate at Priscilla's and we came back.
Yeah. So go there.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to get into the movie?
You're like, I want to move past this bit. Shut up.
Do you want to get to the movie?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. So, the beginning of the movie, we see, Mitzi and what's her name? I cannot think of it.
Bernadette or
no.
Guy Pierce's character.
Adam, Felicia. So Felicia and Mitzi are going to are performing, and at the end of the show, like people are like being rude to them. They're like throwing things at them.
But this is in Sydney, right?
This is in Sydney, so I'm guessing that they're just kind of like not doing the best at this moment. Like they've just been performing the same things over and over and over again.
Okay.
And so I think that they're trying to hint at like, they need a refresher.
Okay.
But you know that these are like the top people in this area, like in the drag scene in this city, they're doing the best, like they're doing the thing.
Yeah. Cause I didn't get that at all.
Really?
No, I thought that they were just, like, not very good.
Well, I think they're trying to be like, they were really great, but they're not doing the best now because they're just doing the same thing over and over again. They need a refresher. After the show, Mitzi gets a call from someone, and then he has this flashback to being in the hospital.
Right.
And we don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, it's a weird dream sequence where he's in the hospital, but he's in drag and he's smoking a cigarette for some reason. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, what's all this going on?
Yeah, and we find out that Mitzi is like, hey, we're going to do a show in Alice, which is in the middle of Sydney. Also, do you know if Sydney or if Australia is just, because you know how like, Africa is a continent and there's different countries.
Uh-huh.
Australia is a continent.
Yeah, Australia is a continent and a country. It's kind of an anomaly like that.
No, there's 6 different countries there.
Oh, there are?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I Googled it. And it said 6, but then there was something that said more. And I was like, I don't know how many there are, but...
Yeah, well...
Possibly there's more countries in Australia. But it's in the middle of Australia, and they show a map, and they, like, pinpoint where Sydney is and where Alice is. So you see, like, they're going a really far distance. Because, I mean, Australia is not tiny. I mean, it's a whole continent.
No, no, it's a big country.
It's a big continent.
You just said there were multiple countries there.
Yeah.
And I was referring to just Australia, the country.
Okay, I don't know. Anyways, the continent's pretty large. It's in the middle of it. So they're going to drive a bus across, and he calls Bernadette. Well, Bernadette actually calls him, and she tells him there's a funeral that happens. And Bernadette's kind of down in the dumps. I think it was her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Her lover.
Yeah, that's right. She goes to see her at, I thought it was her husband.
It might be. I don't know if they really say, like, this was my husband or this was my, like, she just says, like, how much she
was a long-term partner for sure.
Definitely. But they've passed away, and Bernadette's kind of in the dumps about it. And so Mitzi's like, hey, you should come with me. It'll be really fun. And so she's like, well, I ain't got shit to do else besides mourn, so might as well go. So she gets on to the bus, and then she finds out that Adam is also going to be there, and she's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because they don't get along.
Yeah, Adam's super annoying to Bernadette.
And you can see why. Their characters are very opposite of one another.
Definitely.
Bernadette's very like a regal, put together type person, and Adam/Felicia is like very flamboyant and very open and flashy, I guess I would say.
Mm-hmm. So they get on the bus, and then they have this like little parade, and there's this runner that is like, they're like, this person's gonna run across country. They're running something, and they have this like machine on them, and it goes boop 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 boop. And I don't know if you noticed, but like they were at the very beginning of the movie, and they were at the bus. So like they were about to shoot off, and then like the bus is about to leave, and then the crowd behind the bus is like whoa, and all the people that were at the parade for the woman that's about to run were like, wait, what's happening?
Right. But doesn't that bike show up at later in the desert?
Definitely does.
Yeah.
So they ride off, and like literally 3 hours in, they're like singing and they're trying to pass the time. And 3 hours in, they're like, I'm done. Like, this is how long have we been doing this for?
Right. Yeah. And we also find out Felicia loves ABBA. That's mm-hmm. like her favorite. Her favorite
there. Yeah.
Yeah. Her favorite musical group. And like ABBA just comes back, into the movie over and over again.
And then in that same kind of moment, the two other drag queens are like, why are we going to Alice to perform drag? I don't understand what is out in Alice. And they find out that Mitzi was married to a woman at one mm-hmm. point. And so he says,
still married.
Yes, they're still married. And he says that they have to, they have to give them a big favor. So they're due for a favor. And so they're going out there to do a show. That is not all. But we will continue later on.
Yeah, and they start inquiring, like, oh, you were married to a woman, like, but you're gay now? And he's like, I don't know.
I've always been gay.
But that, like, he also, they're like, well, that would make you bi. And he's like, look, I don't know what I am.
Yeah.
And I think at one point, wow, what's his name? Guy Pierce says, are you a donut bumper or something like that? I thought that was really funny. I've never heard that expression before.
Yeah. Adam has a bunch of really great lines.
They all do. Like, this movie is loaded with really great jokes and really great lines and anecdotes, but they're just so rapid fire. It's really hard to remember a lot of them.
Yeah. So they were on the bus, and then we see them open up their medicine cabinet. What was in their medicine cabinet?
I don't remember.
It was just a bunch of booze So they were like, I've got a headache. And they open up the medicine cabinet and they're like, I'll take this kind of alcoholic beverage.
So they're drinking Jeffrey Dahmer style.
I don't know what you mean.
Jeffrey Dahmer would drink in high school and people would be like, what are you drinking? And he'd be like, it's my medicine.
Oh, well, he
was, because he was a full blown alcoholic in high school.
And then they go to this little town, and that's when we see the famous flip-flop dress. Mm-hmm. And
the dress that won an award.
Yeah. So Mitzi is like dressed up in this crazy flip-flop dress, and Adam's like, well, bitch, you ain't gonna dress up, you ain't gonna be the only one dressed up. And so he puts on this crazy wig that's like plastic, and it's like he's got like this corset on and like lingerie, and he looks crazy, but fantastic all at the same time. And they get off the bus and they stop into a hotel because they're tired of sleeping on the bus, which they've already slept one night on the bus. And they're like, well, do y'all want to just stay in or we should go out? And they're like, yeah, we should go out. And so they try to go out to this bar, and that's where we meet, Sherry.
Right. And you mean Shirley?
Shirley. Yeah. Shirley.
Okay. Shirley. Yeah. Shirley. And this is a small town. They don't like these people, around. So they go into the bar and people are just staring at them. And they don't know what to think. They don't know what to do. And there's a particular woman who looks like, you know, a hard-living woman, kind of middle-aged.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes up there and lets it be known she doesn't like them. And this is what Bernadette says to her. Now, listen here, you mullet. Why don't you just light your tampon and blow your box apart? Because it's the only bang you're ever going to get, sweetheart. And that makes everybody laugh at
her. And it's all men in the bar. It's... Shirley is the only woman besides the drag queens. And yeah. So all of the men just start laughing at Shirley. And then everyone's like, oh, hell yeah, we're all going to have drinks and we're going to party. And so you see Adam and Mitzi all drunk and like having a great time. And then you see Shirley and Bernadette throwing them back. I don't know what it's called. There's like a game.
Yeah, they were... I mean, it's not much of a game. It was you drink shots until one of you dies of alcohol poisoning. But it reminded me, there's a few things in this movie that reminded me of like other movies, other famous movies. And this one, that part reminded me of in Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, when we first meet, what is that character's name? It's Indy's love interest. I can't remember her name, though.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a bar in Nepal and she is trying to outdrink one of the Sherpas.
Mm.
So yeah, it's the exact same thing. They're just taking shot after shot and then the Sherpa eventually passes out. And I was like, oh, it's just like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
And, there's a couple other things in this movie that I'm like, oh, it's just like that other movie. And
I'm probably doing little callbacks to it.
Yeah. I don't know if it was homage or not, but it definitely, it made me like the movie more because birds are going crazy.
I definitely loved that scene. But after they're throwing him back, Shirley passes out. And then everyone's like, yay, we won. They go back to their room and they go to sleep. But something happens, actually. I can't remember what.
Well, you think they've won him over and then... They wake up the next morning and found out that
people vandalized the bus. I know what happens. So Adam says, she goes by someone calls her Bernie and she goes, don't call me Bernie. My name's not Bernie.
Right.
And Adam goes, her name's not Bernie. It's Ralph. And that's her dead name. And so Bernadette's really upset by that. And so... They go back into the hotel room and she slaps her and like pushes her down and they're all drunk. And then they pass out. Mitzi's just laying on the bed like, whatever.
Yeah.
And they wake up to their bus being tagged, which says,
vandalized is the word you're
vandalized. Yes. And it says AIDS fuckers go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, well, shit. They get on the bus and they leave.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do about it. But the joke was on them because they did leave, but they didn't go home like they told them to.
So they're driving in the desert and they are at this intersection and they're like, oh, well, we could take this way and we can go a shortcut. And everyone's, Bernadette's like, no, we should stay on the main road. And then she goes, well, you have to stay with Adam longer. And he's just like, never mind, go to the shortcut. So they go on the shortcut and their bus stops.
Yeah. And it's in the middle of the night. So it's really hard to see where they're at because they're in the desert.
And this is also at the crossroads or the intersect, or what is it? The fork in the road. This is where we see the little, runner again. Like this is the second time we see the runner. So they run past on the straightaway, or on the main road, and you hear the little whoop, 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 as she runs past and they turn the other way.
Okay.
So they go to this other way, and then their bus breaks down, and they're kind of deserted in the dark.
Yeah, they can't walk anywhere because there's really no road. I don't know what road. This part was kind of confusing because it's very obvious that they just took the bus in the middle of the desert and parked it there and be like, oh, we're stranded, just to make it look good for the movie. But there's no roads to follow or anything like that. They're just out in the desert. And while they're out there, Adam/Felicia decides to paint the bus pink to cover up what the vandals did.
Yeah.
And
everyone's kind of just like, well, I guess we're going to die out here. Let me eat my, we're just going to eat and hopefully someone will find us. But Bernadette's like, we ain't going to do that. And so she goes and searches for someone and she finds someone in the day, like the next day she's walking out and she finds someone. And there's people that are driving.
Yeah. Like a married couple that was out in the desert in their Jeep doing God knows what.
And Bernadette hops up in the back and there's a dead kangaroo. So she's riding in this dead kangaroo and they go to the
bus.
She's
riding in the dead kangaroo?
She's riding in the Jeep with the dead kangaroo. And they're going back to the bus. And then the couple sees Adam and Mitzi all dressed up in drag being crazy. And they're like, oh my gosh, yay.
Yeah, because they were like kind of rehearsing and goofing off at the same time.
And Bernadette is like, hey, this is the bus. She hops out and the couple just speeds away because they're like, well, never mind.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we see an indigenous person that's kind of like eavesdropping on them later that night.
Yeah, they're out rehearsing, I believe. And an indigenous person or aboriginal, I don't know if that's
thing. I'm not sure.
That's what they used to call him, but I don't know if that's appropriate now. You know how things change. But anyway, he comes across them and he sees them and he likes it and he goes, nice night for it.
Yeah. And he takes them back to their little camp and they're all singing and dancing and having a good time. And that's,
they're like, basically just having like a bonfire.
Yeah. And, the whole group is very welcoming to the drag queens. And then they perform, their little song that they're going to do for the show.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the end of that sequence. The next day
he comes and they go find someone to come help them with their bus.
They find a
mechanic.
The indigenous people help them find a wrecker to tow their bus in the town.
Mm-hmm. And then they go to this mechanic, and the mechanic's like, oh, you're drag queens? I love drag queens.
Yeah, what did he call them? He said the lay girls or something like that?
Yeah.
But he said,
I'm guessing like Lekage.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just wanted to get what he called them right. He said that he went to the city once, and he saw a show of the lay girls. And he really liked it. And he seemed like a fan of it. And
Mitzi was like, oh, well, Bernadette is one of the original lay girls.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so you can tell that he's really excited to be in the presence of Bernadette. Mm-hmm. And you see his wife and she's like, I can sing too. I can dance too. And she's super like he's like, no, calm down. Like, stop dancing. You're not going to dance. You're not going to sing. And you can tell like there's a lot of like tension. She's like very angry with him because she wants to perform.
I found this part to be very offensive because they literally only have one Filipino person in the entire movie, and it's a crazy woman who's just acting weird. She makes food that is inedible, and she wants to sing and dance but has no talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty offensive.
Yeah. And so they go to the bar because the mechanic guy, he's like, oh, we have to go to this bar. I think his name is Frank?
Bob, I think.
Oh, it is Bob. So Bob takes him to this bar and he's like, they're going to love your performance. They're going to love it. And they go out and start performing and everyone is like, nope, we don't like this. And we get cut back to their house, Bob's house, where his wife is stuck at home and she wants to go out. She's super mad and she's looking at this cabinet and she opens the cap, like she finally gets the lock undone and ping pong balls fall out and she starts like laughing hysterically.
Yeah. And I remember saying out loud, like, ping pong balls, what the hell is that all about?
And so we go back to the bar. People are like, well, I don't want to do this. And then his wife comes in lingerie and she goes up on the bar and she starts dancing. And then she starts shooting ping pong balls out of her vagina.
Yeah.
And all of the people in the crowd are like, woo, we love it.
Yeah. They really seem to like it. And so Bob is embarrassed. She
must be doing this like frequently. And that's why Bob locked up the ping pong balls.
Yeah.
So
why didn't you just throw the ping pong balls away? They're just thin plastic, Bob. Way to go. I think he really brought that on himself. But she ends up leaving him, right? She mm-hmm. takes off, and then he's like, I'm going to go on the road with the drag queens because the bus had something wrong with the gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to make sure it stays clean so that they can get where they're going because a new gas tank would take like over a week to get there.
Yeah. So,
but I don't remember where they go after this.
So then they go to this other town. They're driving through this other town and Bob is like very adamant. Like, you guys have, Adam, you have to stay in. You cannot leave. And Bernadette and Mitzi go out. Bernadette's in, I mean, her regular clothes because she's trans, but, or we think she's trans. But Mitzi's in just her regular, he's Tick right now. He's right. Just his own male self. And they go out to dinner and they see, they're having dinner and Adam takes a pill. I'm guessing it's like ecstasy or something.
I don't know.
Or like some type of pill. And then they go out to go have a drink at the bar with Bob, where Bob is. And you can tell that this is a no gays allowed kind of town.
Right. It's like a sundown town for homosexuals.
Yeah. So everyone's out having a drink at the bar and it's kind of dark and one guy comes up and is like, well, we don't get a lot of women around here. And at first you think, oh, like he wants to, like, if it was an actual woman, you'd be like, he would rape her. For sure. But he sees Adam's muscles and then he's like, oh, you think I'm gay? And he starts chasing Adam through the town. And then and then we see Adam run past, Mitzi and, or Tick and Bernadette having dinner.
Right. And then they run after him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the townies catch up to him and they're going to do something pretty terrible to him. Like they tell him mm-hmm. they push him down and they spread his legs and they're like, they're going to do something to his genitals. I don't know what, but it's not going to be good. And Bernadette and is it Tick or Bob? That shows up. Okay. But I don't remember what they did, but they do something.
Well, Bernadette is the one that, like, tells them something.
Okay. But I don't remember exactly what she said.
And then she, like, kicks him in the balls.
Okay.
I don't remember what she says either.
Hmm. But anyway, they get out of that little scramble alive, and they go back to the hotel. And, Bernadette and Adam sort of make up, like, come to an understanding with each other after that, right?
Yeah, they're kind of like, Adam, like, I guess they're like, this is your life. You have to, like, you can't do that. And they kind of have this moment. And then the next, well, they're in the bus still. So, like, they don't even stay in the town. So they get on the bus and they leave.
Right.
And they're having a campfire on the side of the road. And Bernadette and Bob, they fall asleep outside. And you can see that their relationship's getting more intimate.
Right.
But, I mean, they haven't, there's nothing that was done that we know of. Like, there's no, like, oh, like, there's no subtleties of, like, oh, they, like, were kissing or, like, they were, like, doing anything. They literally just fell asleep outside.
Right, yeah.
Which was real sweet and innocent.
Well, they were drinking, too, so you could just be, like, yeah, they were drinking and they got too drunk and they passed out. But
yeah.
Also, at the same time, you're like, oh, what's going on between these two? Mm-hmm. Because he did, he mentioned that he was into the lay girls thing or whatever it was called. And then also she's grieving the death of her partner.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a friendship or something starting to brew between the two of them.
Yeah. So they wake him up and then they drive to the hotel. They come to the hotel and that's when they meet his wife. And then we all find out that he actually has a son. And the reason he was going out there is so that he can bring his son back to Sydney with them.
Yeah, he hasn't seen his son in a number of years or his wife because they were never divorced. But you don't know what to expect. And when he gets to the hotel, his wife is actually really happy to see him. And it seems like, oh, their relationship didn't end because he was, or I mean, I guess it did, but she doesn't seem to care or hate him for it.
Well, also, like, if there's some cut scenes to their wedding and she's in a tuxedo and he's in drag.
That wasn't a dream?
No.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's like a cut back to. So, like, the whole time, like, she knew he did drag. Like, that was like part of their relationship. It wasn't.
Okay.
I don't think it was like this weird thing.
Okay. So then they had a,
understanding.
Yeah, I guess like a, I don't know what to call it. I want to say like a contract marriage, but a marriage of convenience.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you know who Cole
like Porter our marriage. Is. I'm just kidding.
It is. Yeah, I fix your car and you do nothing for me. Okay. No, you're a better cook than me. So. So you, Cole you. Porter, you know who Cole Porter is,
yes,
right?
I love Cole Porter.
He's huge, but he was around in a time where you just couldn't
get
gay.
Married, yeah.
So he was married to a woman, but it was a marriage of convenience.
Okay, right? I get it.
She
but was, I don't think it was though, because like they had a baby and everything.
Who, Cole Porter?
No. Mitzi.
Well, I'm just using that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have what you would consider a normal heterosexual marriage where you get married and you have kids. They had some sort of understanding or some sort of agreement. But you do see, it's good to see that they're happy to see each other. Mm-hmm. I do like that. And because they're going to have to co-parent together.
Yeah. And so we see him see his son. It's thundering here.
Ooh, Thundercats.
Love it.
Thundercats.
Ho! So we we see him like kind of interact with his son, like very lightly. And all of his friends walk in and they're like, oh shit. And Bernadette passes out because she realizes, oh, that's his son. And the whole time they're like, they keep on like joking, like, oh, well, you're going to show us your son when you, or you're going to have a child when we get there. And they keep kind of hinting at like, he might have a kid with her. And so we find out he actually does have a kid. And Bernadette actually sees the kid and they're like, well, they're going to go to bed and you're going to do your show and everything will be okay. And then we have this wonderful, fantastic, I love this drag montage.
Yeah. And I wish they, my one, thing that I wish.
Criticism.
Yeah. My one criticism for this movie is like, what, do more drag.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, there's not really a whole lot of events that happen in this movie. You know, it's like, oh, they leave Sydney, they go to a couple places, and then they're at the hotel. They talk about past tense stuff a lot in this movie. The dream sequence is only lasts for like a second or so. Like, mm-hmm. I want to see some more drag things. Mm-hmm. I want to see them entertaining more.
Yeah. Cause those are some of the best parts when they're in performing. So they have this fantastic drag montage. And then at the end of it, only like the whole crowd is just silent, like slow clapping, like, okay, like fantastic, I guess. And, Bob, his, wife and their son are cheering and Mitzi passes out because she sees her son there. They didn't think they were actually going to see them perform.
Yeah.
Don't know if their son is going to be okay with them doing drag.
Right. Yeah. Or the fact that he's gay. He didn't know that, mm-hmm. how his son was going to feel about it. But his son does not care at all and is still very proud of his father.
Yeah. So after they faint, later on, they go to this, they go out, it's not a park, it's like a pond. I don't know. It's somewhere in outdoors. and they're going to go climb on this rock and just be in drag or something. And
well, they wanted to go to some like, mountain peak or something like that in drag, like that was part of their plan.
Yeah, but they're talking to their son and they're like, well, what do you think of if your dad has what if he has a boyfriend? He's like, well, my mom has had a girlfriend, but she got over her. And so he's like, oh shit. Okay. Well, that's fine. Then we can do this. And then later on, they're talking and he's like, well, his son asks, well, when we go back, are you going to have a boyfriend? And he goes, maybe. so you can see that the son is very open and he even goes, I want to see my mom says the ABBA performance is too extreme for me, but I want to see you perform ABBA. And so, this whole time, like, he's been like, I think we know that Adam likes ABBA, but also Mitzi likes ABBA and likes to perform ABBA.
I mean, if you're a drag queen, isn't it required that you like ABBA?
Bernadette doesn't like ABBA, though. That's one of the things about Bernadette.
Oh, right. That's right.
Or they just don't want to do ABBA because, like, maybe it's overdone.
yeah, probably.
yeah. So they, he's like, I don't want to go dress up in drag, but his son seems very like, I love it. I think it's awesome. And he's like, okay, well, fine. I'm going to go up top and I'm going to dress up in drag. Let's go get smocked.
Right.
Let's go get smocked up. And then they climb up top and they're like, okay, this is it. It's kind of very anticlimactic.
Yeah. This is a problem that this whole movie has of being like anticlimactic. It's, I don't know. It seems like it's building to something and it just never really seems to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're having like the filmmaker had a problem making things seem more dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how to fix it. But that is a problem with the movie and it makes it less memorable. I'm having a hard time remembering this movie because of that.
Yeah. So they get back on the bus and Bernadette, or they're going, they're about to leave. And Bernadette, is like, I'm actually going to stay at the hotel.
Yeah, with Bob.
With Bob. And so Bob and her are going to stay back, and Mitzi and Adam leave with their son.
And his wife as well.
No, his wife stays also, because she's going to...
I thought she got on the bus with them.
No, she didn't. Yeah. I know. I was like, oh, she's going to get on the bus. But then she's like, bye, I love you, stay good. And I was like, oh, wait, she's not going?
I guess they're going to split time together or something.
Yeah, I guess. So she goes back. He goes back with them, and they're like singing ABBA in the bus. And we get back to Sydney, and they're performing drag, and their son is doing some spotlight for their drag performance. So
right. Yeah. And we get a little drag that go out with the credits. Something you didn't talk about is Adam is really good with the kid.
Yeah.
With his son, and they become friends, and like they play Legos together. And the weird part about it, I was like, why is that guy bonding with this other guy's son more than he is?
Yeah.
I wish they would have showed them bonding more.
Mm-hmm.
The scenes that they did have together were really good and really do tug at your heartstrings a lot. But I just didn't think there was enough of it.
Yeah, definitely could have been more.
And the kid should have definitely gotten up on stage with them.
Oh, yeah, for real. I wish they were in drag.
Yeah, I mean...
they didn't have to be in drag.
No, he didn't necessarily have to be, but it would have been cute if he was just like got up there at the end and like waved to people and he had makeup on. Like,
yeah.
Having the spotlight, just having him work the spotlight, not good. But that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. So, Joey, I want to hear your no bullshit assessment.
Oh, my no bullshit assessment. I really enjoyed this movie. It's very simple and streamlined and straight to the point. It doesn't fuck around at all. It's the perfect length. It has the perfect amount of people in the cast. But it does really feel like it has a problem, like, building up to real drama. I never felt like there was any real stakes in the movie. Like, what were these guys going to lose if they didn't make it to the casino? Like, I never felt any urgency watching the movie. I guess you could describe this as a hangout movie where just like the characters are just having fun together and discovering themselves and learning about themselves. And from that perspective, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
You know what I mean by hangout movies?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay.
But you wanted more of like a time limit, like a ticking... What is that time thing you talk about?
Yeah, a time clock.
Okay.
It didn't necessarily need a time clock. It sort of had one with the bus. Like, I thought that's what they were setting up with the bus, but then the bus never really breaks down again.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been a fun runner in the movie to be like, oh, this time it's the gas tank. Oh, they are literally one day from Alice, but the bus blows a tire.
Also, with the title of the movie, like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, like it seems like that would be more of like the through line is the bus.
Right.
Which it like we can see like all of the different stories, like, oh, like there's different things that happen to the bus. Like there's the graffiti, there's the tagging or whatever it's called. Vandalism. And then it breaks down. But that's it.
And it seems like the solutions are a little bit too easy.
Yeah.
We talked about that with Can't Stop the Music, how the solutions were just...
Those were way easier solutions, though.
Yeah, that movie is bad. This movie is good. This is a very good movie. If you want to watch a hangout movie with very well-written characters, with good actors playing them, and, just discovering themselves and their lives and, like... You're going to love this movie.
Yeah.
It's perfect for you. And I enjoyed it on that level too. I just wish there was some more stakes. Mm-hmm. That's it. It doesn't have to be a weird road trip movie.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think the screenwriter or whoever wrote it sat down and maybe their background isn't in screenwriting. But that's pretty much all I have to say about it.
Okay.
I enjoy the movie and I will watch it again.
Yeah. I definitely think that this is a better movie than Chu Wong Fu, in my opinion, because I think that I think with Chu Wong Fu, like my issue with it is that they're trying to they're in drag all the time. Whereas with this, like, they're real drag queens. They seem more realistic as drag queens.
This movie feels like it was written by a actual gay person who knows about drag and that whole
community. Yeah, whereas Chu Wong Fu feels like a straight person was like, oh, drag queens are always in drag.
Yeah.
They're pretending to be women.
Chu Wong Fu has stakes and all that.
Yes.
What this movie is missing, but everything else just feels inauthentic.
Yeah. And I will say, I still love Chu Wong Fu. I do not hate Chu Wong Fu.
I don't like that movie.
Oh, okay. Well, I like it, but I do like this movie better.
But here, let me tell you why I don't like Chu Wong Fu. And movies with gay people in it, like American movies with gay people in it, is I think that gay men are the most tokenized people in television and film.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean by tokenized?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, just if you watch Queer Eye, which is a good show, but they still reduce the main guys down to like, you're a fashion guy, you're a hair guy, you're like, these are still like kind of stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
They're always a token. You rarely ever see a show where, like Schitt's Creek, where the LGBT character is just another character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the reason that show was like that is because it was written by a gay guy, right? But Tu Wong Fu tokenizes the living hell out of
those guys. Absolutely.
Priscilla the Queen of the Desert did not feel that. Like, they didn't feel like tokens or stereotypes to me. They felt like real people, even though all three of them were played by straight men. I thought they did a fantastic job of like making them human.
Yes.
And not tokens. And that's why I like this movie. And that's why I don't like Chu Wong Fu.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, Chu Wong Fu does feel like that. I still like
you just like Patrick Swayze.
I think I just like Patrick Swayze. I love Patrick Swayze. He's fantastic. Who doesn't like Patrick Swayze?
I like Patrick Swayze, but I'd rather see him like do a ballet leap and kick at some guy in the face
and murder him with his kick,
rip his throat out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the movie. For our little game segment, we're gonna play a little bit of gay movie trivia. Ooh, I need you to.
Ooh, gay movie trivia.
Thank you. I needed you to do the ooh. Thank you. Okay. So our first question: Lacage Oxfolies is about a gay couple, Albert and Renata. Renato. Well, I cannot read. In Saint Troops, whose son is getting married. The problem is that the future father-in-law is a conservative politician. What is the name of the American version of the same movie? Is it The Birdcage, Feathers, Tootsie, or Chu Wong Fu?
That's so easy. It's The Birdcage.
Correct. Correctamundo. It is The Birdcage. And it has Robin Williams in it.
That movie, I watched it, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It's pretty wild. It's dated.
Yeah.
For sure.
It also has, what's the other guys?
Nathan Lane. Robin Williams. It's got a great cast. And I think the movie was a hit based on that. But I don't know if the movie, I don't know if I'd call it a good movie. All right, you got any more gay trivia for us?
Okay. Miss Noxima, Miss Chi-Chi, and Miss Vita end up in a hick town in the middle of nowhere.
I already know what this one is.
It's Chu Wong Fu.
Yeah, we were just...
A group.
Chu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Okay, A group of English unemployed blue-collar men decide to make the big bucks by stripping. During the rehearsal, two of the men find each other. What is the name of this film?
All right, don't even read the options because I already know what it is.
What?
It's The Full Monty.
Okay. This is a film about the Fashion Week. Prêt-à-porter in Paris. With an all-star cast with such actors as Julia Roberts, Sophia Loren, and Rupert Everett. I want
Rupert
the American
Everett?
Title. Okay, is it Fashion Week, Ready to Wear, Fashion Statement, or Ready to Show?
Ready to Wear. Hey, maybe talk into your own microphone.
I am trying to. Two friends, Robert and Abby, end up in bed together, and a child is created. The problem is that the Robert is gay and cannot promise anything, but they decide to raise the child together. This is successful until Abby finds a new straight boyfriend and wants to move with him to another town and take the child with her. A bitter legal battle begins. What is the name of that film?
Oh my God.
The best thing next, the best last thing, the first best thing, the next best thing.
The next best thing. That's the only title that makes sense.
In My Best Friend's Wedding, Julia hears that her best friend is getting married and realizes she is in love with him. She decides to try to stop the wedding. Soon, she enlists her gay friend George to help in the plot. Who plays George? Is it Dermot Mulroney, Tom Cruise, Billy Zane, or Rupert Everett?
I think it's Rupert Everett.
Yes. Oh, well, I'm going to click that one. Okay. In Beautiful Thing, two neighbor boys fall in love and in the end start a relationship. In the film, there is also a black girl who is a fan of a famous singer. What is the name of the singer she's a fan of? Aretha Franklin, Mama Cass, Tina Turner, or Cher?
I'm going to go with Cher. But I don't know.
Okay. Three women. The first is a famous English writer writing one of the most famous books. Then there's a mother in her 50s who prepares her husband's birthday surprise. The last woman is a publisher who plans a party for her AIDS-sick prize-winning friend. What is the name of that film? The minutes, the hours, the days, the months.
The hours.
The AIDS-sick man finds out that he is soon to turn into a vegetable and die. Instead of trying to fight the illness, he decides to end his life with his own terms. He holds a last party to say goodbye to his friends and family. Is it? It's my goodbye. It's my party. It's my life. It's my illness.
It's my life.
It's my life. It's now never. Okay.
Bon Jovi.
Okay, Beautiful Thing is Mama Cass.
Which
it's
I said
My
Cher.
Party is the... Those are the only two you got wrong.
Oh, okay.
Good job. Congratulations.
Okay, so do we want to know which ones I got right?
You got The Hours right, which is okay. The three women.
I've never seen that movie. I just remember it coming out when I worked at Blockbuster.
The Full Monty is the stripping one.
Yeah. Hit movie, big hit movie.
Uh-huh. The Paris one, the one that's about Fashion Week, Ready to Wear, it has Julia Roberts. Good job.
Never seen it, just remember the title.
The next best thing, you got that right, because that's the only one that made sense. My Best Friend's Wedding, Rupert Everett. And Le Cage, The Birdcage. Yeah.
Le Cage. All right. Well, that is going to be our last Pride Month movie. We hope you guys enjoyed it. This is the first time that we've done a weekly show because we actually have time to do it.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. What I want to ask you, do you have a favorite like LGBTQIA plus the other things? Is there some movie in that world that is your favorite?
I really like But I'm a Cheerleader.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think it was because when I was younger, I saw that and I was like, wait, what?
Oh, well, tell us about it. I want to hear this story. What happened?
So when I was little, I did cheerleading. And so I saw the title and I was like, hell yeah, I want to watch a movie that's
How old were you?
I was probably in middle school.
Okay.
Or maybe even like fifth or sixth grade.
Okay.
And I started watching the movie and I realized she was a lesbian until she went to the conversion camp. And then I was like, oh, I get it now. And she's like, I can't be a lesbian. I'm a cheerleader. So it was just kind of eye opening. And I have a gay brother and he wasn't out at the moment, but watching that movie, it kind of like
put some thoughts in your head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I always thought he was gay.
Okay.
He was the only brother that actually like played with me. I'm the only girl. There's five of us and I'm the only girl and he was the only one that would play with me and we would play Barbies and like ponies and things like that. And so
yeah, he was a big My Little, or still is a big My Little Pony fan, yeah. Right?
So watching that, I kind of was like, oh, like there are normal people that are gay. And so it was really interesting to watch and like kind of get that perspective. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. While you were saying all that, I was trying to think of a LGBTQ movie that I like or know. And I could think of I don't know if you guys can hear the thunderstorm that's going on in the background, but it sounds like a jazz radio station. The Quiet Storm. You're listening to The Quiet Storm.
Bah, 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 bah.
Okay.
So our next movie that we're going to be doing is
oh yeah,
for 4th of July, and we are doing
Independence Day.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I hope you guys are excited about the birth of America. We've kind of been through a lot in the last 6-7 years.
Yeah.
It's been a rough go being American.
Yeah.
But we're going to celebrate anyway, despite it all.
Is that what that movie's about?
No.
Oh, okay.
You don't know?
I don't know anything about the movie.
Oh, okay. Well,
isn't there like zombies?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it. It's,
please don't.
It's nothing like what we're dealing with now. Or what we've been dealing with a lot. But, you know, like it or love it, this is your country. So I don't know where I'm going.
I don't either. So if you don't like it, try to change it.
Yeah. So, or just, yeah. Hey, go out and vote.
Yeah.
Run for office. I really think my generation really fucked up on running for office.
I think more people are starting to do that though.
Yeah, I think.
And a lot of people are like blocking, like, don't do it. You're too young.
Yeah, of course. There's always going to be stuff like that. But I really do feel like my generation, I'm an early millennial.
Our generation.
Our generation.
I'm also a millennial.
Yeah, when I said my generation, I was
including I'm a younger millennial.
But I really do feel like we dropped the ball on running for office. Yeah. Like people complain about how many elderly people we have. And I think it's in Congress. And I think it is a problem. But I also think that we dropped the ball and we didn't run for office. This all of a sudden turned into
a political podcast.
Pod Save America. But yeah, I just want to get that off my chest.
Yeah.
Get involved, people, in whatever way you can, even if it's just voting.
Yeah. And also, try to listen to my brother's podcast coming out. He just dropped another episode.
Is that the actual title of it?
We're Coming Out.
Okay.
That's what it's called. So take a listen to that. He dropped another episode. It's called Jacob. So you'll hear Jacob's story of coming out of the closet. So I listened to part of it. I didn't get to finish it because I was in the car. and I had to get out. So.
Well, I didn't know it came out, so I'm going to listen to it tomorrow.
Ooh. Okay. Well, this has been
You Haven't Seen It. Bye, everybody.
Bye.